Thank you. Once again, my name is Curtis Coote, and among those programs that were just mentioned include the Oregon Environmental Public Health Tracking Program, also known as Oregon Tracking. Over the next 12 minutes, I'll present our state's innovative use of an existing data source, one that we all may in fact have a love-hate relationship with, and that is driver's licenses. I'll describe this application in our state environmental public health tracking system to allow for large population-based trend analysis. And first thing I'll say is that I have no relationships or conflicts to disclose. Oregon Tracking is part of the National Environmental Public Health Tracking Network funded by CDC. Oregon Tracking brings together data from many different sources to examine the effects the environment has on people's health within the state. Tracking refers to the systematic collection, analysis, interpretation, and presentation of data about diseases and their causes. Many of us are familiar with these maps from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, BRFSS, which visually represent an increase in obesity rates in the United States. Today, more than one-third of adults in this country are obese. A greater understanding of overweight and obesity trends is needed. Tracking data on the weight status of populations can allow us to monitor trends, highlight disparities, identify environmental influences, inform planning and policy decisions, and evaluate public health efforts. But surveillance can be expensive. In Oregon, the primary source of surveillance data comes from the BRFSS. That source provides us with a great deal of information about health behaviors and disease burden at the county level, but only after several years are combined to achieve stable estimates. Up until now, we haven't had any population-level data below the county level. That's a problem because we know that you can travel for 5 minutes in any direction and find yourself in an environment that looks very different and affects your health in different ways. One of the indicators we now track is weight status. The standard proxy measure for obesity is body mass index, or BMI, which is calculated from a person's height and weight. BMI can be quite controversial, but it should be remembered that it's just a proxy measure. It doesn't accurately classify every individual's weight status, but it is a good measure on the population level. The reason weight status is important is that it's associated with death and increased disease rates. So where can we find affordable data to track weight status? At the DMV. A few things to get out of the way before we dive deeper. Driver's licenses have been around for a long time, so why only now are we looking to use them for tracking data? Our primary belief is that individuals are skeptical that this is a data source that can be relied on. One of two responses we hear is everybody lies on their driver's licenses. The second thing we hear is that my license still has the weight I was in high school. That is, the data were accurate at one point, but they haven't been updated, so they won't be good for describing change over time. In a slide or two, I'll show results from some trend analysis from this DMV data, and we can discuss it some more. While we don't get much information off of driver's license, basically just the name, address, age, sex, height, and weight, this information alone is still really valuable, since nearly every adult in the state is in the DMV database. And because there are so many records, and because they have address information, we can use them to create some very granular measures, more granular than we've had access to before. We were provided with over 3.5 million driver's license and identification card records issued between 2003 and 2010 from the Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division, or DMV, which is a branch of the Oregon Department of Transportation. We excluded less than 2% of the records for data issues, and 95% of the records were geocoded to census block groups, resulting in 3.2 million records. Also, the acquisition of this data set costs only $900 per year of data. Just a couple slides ago, we briefly touched on why bother? Doesn't everybody lie? Well, we tested that by comparing weight estimates from DMV records to estimates from the Oregon BRFSS. As it turns out, DMV estimates are lower than the Oregon BRFSS because people report lower weights and perhaps greater heights. Average BMI from DMV records is about 5% lower for women and about 2% lower for men. But the important thing is that this bias is reliable. The DMV estimates still track pretty well with BRFSS estimates. So since the bias is consistent, that's something that we can account for, at least in messaging. DMV data is also useful for evaluating interventions because we can look at records issued in different years and compare the change over time, the population's weight status between different areas of the state. But of course, this brings up the second most common comment we get about for high school weight. And it gets to the question of whether we can use DMV records to monitor trends. If the numbers don't change, they won't be useful for evaluating interventions. As it turns out, even assuming that many people are not updating their weight when they renew their license, we can still see trends over time. This is a graph of the average BMI for men based on the year they were born in, with younger men to the left and older men to the right. The graph for women is similar. If we compare people based on the year they got their driver's licenses issued or renewed, we can see that the averages have changed over time. So that's promising evidence that the data are sensitive to temporal changes, and therefore that we can try to use them to evaluate interventions. Up until now, we've only had statewide data on the population's weight status available at the county level from our BRFSS telephone surveys. As I mentioned, these surveys are expensive to administer, and we actually have to combine 4 years' worth of the data to get reliable percentage estimates at the county level. This image is essentially a 36-pixel image, since we have 36 counties in Oregon. With the DMV data, we were able to geocode over 95% of the records to census block groups. So we have these great new maps that cover the whole state. Our current success rate is closer to 99%. This map is a statistical comparison showing block groups with BMIs that are in the same breaks as that previous BRFSS map. This represents essentially a 2,634-pixel image corresponding with the number of block groups in Oregon. And here is our newest map of the DMV data, geocoded to the address level. Each pixel on this map is a quarter of a square mile, and there are over 390,000 pixels. So using DMV data, we've achieved a 10,000-fold enhancement in the resolution of our map compared to the BRFSS map that I showed earlier. On this map, areas are colored based on whether the average BMI is a healthy weight, overweight, or obese. Areas where there are fewer than 5 cardholders are not shown, or they're in white. Because we know people lie, but don't know precisely how much they lie, we really need to average people's data together to get a reliable picture. When you zoom in a little, we can see patterns emerge. In this map of Portland, we can see the swatch here of the West Hills, where people tend to be at a healthy weight, as well as this area right here, which is in central East Portland. In fact, let's take an even deeper look. The three-category grouping is fairly crude. The data are actually a lot more rich. This is a census block group map. We know block groups are areas that have 1,500 to 3,000 people living in them. You can see there's a lot more nuances here that invite exploring, and we can use it to distinguish statistically significant differences in weight between one neighborhood and the next. Well, we anticipate these data will be very useful for guiding public health efforts and describing environmental influences on obesity. The great thing about publishing estimates for census areas or block groups is that there's a ton of data published by the census that we can use to look for associations. In early analysis, we found the factor with the strongest association with BMI is the median home value. We really need to do more in-depth analysis before we can draw some definite conclusions. And having BMI data for very small geographic areas will make these studies possible. So, where do we go from here? Oregon Tracking makes these data available on our portal, along with demographic, environmental, and health outcome indicators. Although Oregon is the first state to publish DMV measures of body mass index, many states have these data. We're hopeful that as more states analyze the weight data on their DMV records, we'll be able to create a national weight status map with greater detail. Aside from producing reliable estimates, there are other qualities we look for in data sources for public health tracking that this DMV data successfully holds, making it very applicable for surveillance. CDC has published guidelines for evaluating a data source for public health surveillance, which highlights these listed qualities. Our full report describes our evaluation of DMV data using these guidelines. In conclusion, public health is doing a lot of work to help design communities to be places that promote health. But the thing to keep in mind is that public health resources are very limited, especially compared to the money that we spend treating disease. So we need to be smart about where to spend our resources to maximize our return on investment. And using driver's license data for population-based assessment may be a great move. Benefits of this data may vary from state to state based on access, but to quickly summarize, DMV data is a unique source for local BMI estimates and representative of the state's adult population. In Oregon, we have an 8-year renewal cycle, which means that about 1/8 of Oregon adults update their licenses and ID cards each year, making that data available to us. These data are strongly correlated with the BRFSS and allow for greater resolution than that survey data. They're inexpensive, reliably inaccurate, and allow for a wide potential of future studies and the guidance of public health efforts in the description of environmental influences on obesity. Finally, I just want to thank people who have contributed to this work, especially the Oregon tracking team and our former epidemiologist, Daniel Morris. I just want to acknowledge that this work was supported by the National Environmental Public Health Tracking Program Cooperative Agreement, and in part by collaborative chronic disease health promotion and tracking cooperative agreement, both funded by the CDC. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the conference.